The voice of Utah. The sound of freedom. AM 630 KTKK Sandy Salt Lake City. This is K-Talk.
Hello, it's Saturday afternoon, and it's time for the Stephen Reinhart Unspoken Word Program. This is the place where Utah's culture, history, and politics collide. We're welcoming you this afternoon. I'm Steve Graham. I'm sitting in for Stephen Reinhart, who's out of town today. And we're going to have a really great show for you. We look forward to hearing from you. If during the show we have anything to say that makes you want to share your thoughts, then you just go right ahead and call. And here's where we are. We're KTKK or K-Talk, AM 630 on your dial. The phone numbers in Salt Lake are, in Salt Lake, it's 801-254-5855. In North Davis County, and I think that's still 801 area code, that's 670-5855. Utah County down there, the phone number is 801-470-5855. And if you have to leave for some reason or if your radio goes out, get on the internet at www.k-talk.com and you can listen live. As I said, I'm Steve Graham. I'm substituting for Stephen Reinhart today. I've been on the program before. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm with the Standard of Liberty. We're a cultural education organization who are fighting the culture fight against those who would overturn our religious and cultural standards and the way we run things in our country. And I suggest and recommend that you go to our website. It's www.standardofliberty.org. You'll find a lot of interesting things on there. But we're not going to talk about Standard of Liberty today. What I want to do is welcome my guest, as I'm guest hosting today. I've got visiting with me in here today, Jared Law. Jared is the founder of the 912 Project Network, and we're going to be talking about that very thing, the 912 Project, and what it is that they're hoping to accomplish, not only locally, but nationally. So, Jared, why don't you say hello to everybody out there?
How y'all doing?
So, listen, Jared, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Jared Law, and I'm a 30-something businessman. My wife and I have a web services company. That's our family business. And to make a long story short, I started getting involved in politics a little bit more in the year 2006. And the 912 Project Network is, of course, inspired by Glenn Beck's 912 Project. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, the 912 Project is an effort, it's an initiative to get people to join together to help people realize that they're not surrounded and that we actually surround them. Them, of course, being those people and those institutions and those entities that are constricting our liberties, our God-given rights, our rights and who are trampling on the Constitution of the United States of America. And the 912 Project has, of course, 9 principles and 12 values. And I'll give the story about how this came about later. But first, let me go over these principles and values so those of you who are listening today, you can see exactly what we're talking about here. The 9 principles of the 912 Project start with America is good. That's the first of the 9 principles. The second is I believe in God, and He is the center of my life. The third is I must always try to be a more honest person than I was yesterday. Number 4 is the family is sacred. My spouse and I are the ultimate authority, not the government. 5 is if you break the law, you pay the penalty. Justice is blind and no one is above it. Principle 6, I have a right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, but there is no guarantee of equal results. 7, I work hard for what I have, and I will share it with who I want to. Government cannot force me to be charitable. Principle 8, it is not un-American for me to disagree with authority or to share my personal opinion. And Principle 9, the government works for me. I do not answer to them, they answer to me. And we'll go over some quotes from the Founding Fathers that speak to each of those and then talk about those principles. Now, there are also 12 values that go well along with the 9 principles that are part of the 912 Project. Those 12 values are honesty, reverence, hope, thrift, humility, charity, sincerity, moderation, hard work, courage, personal responsibility, and gratitude.
Jared, one of the things that strikes me is that there are nine principles, and then you have, separate from the nine principles, these 12 values. And one time what I learned was that many people can have values that sound the same, but if they're not founded on righteous or good or principles that can be relied on to be for the benefit of society, then having values is just not enough. And here's an example. You could have a street gang in some large city, and the people would say, we have a value of taking care of our members of our group. And so the value is we love and take care of our own. But the principle upon which it might be based might be, if we believe in riot and mayhem and murder. So you see, in order to accomplish the riot and mayhem and murder, we will take care of our own. And so it's based on a bad principle. And so the point I'm trying to make is it's really important, the principles upon which you base your value.
Oh, absolutely. And the principles are really the key. Without the principles, the values can be twisted. For example, many people believe, and this is actually something that's very common here in Utah, many people believe that charity and tolerance are more important than personal responsibility and justice. For example, we have many people that think, because of the Latter-day Saint faith, a lot of people understand the United Order. And they think, oh, we're supposed to be sharing with our neighbors. We're supposed to help them. And if we don't, then that makes us a little bit disobedient. We're not doing very well.
Yeah.
Well, the key is, cannot violate someone's right to their property. Remember, the Founding Fathers were talking about, when the Constitution was being drafted, or, I'm sorry, the Declaration of Independence, they were talking about life, liberty, and property. And the reason that they called it pursuit of happiness instead was because of the slavery issue. And the reason that they came to that three-fifths compromise was to disempower, in other words, to take some power away from the slave-holding states so that they wouldn't make the United States of America a permanent slave-holding nation. The founders were good men, and most of them didn't own slaves, and they didn't want to have slavery be part of America in the future. They saw an end to it in the future.
Yeah.
And so that's why they made that three-fifths compromise. And so for people to understand that, they realize that, hey, you know, the United States of America is good. And you look back to the beginning, the founding of this country, and they were already looking ahead to many decades later when there was finally freedom granted to those people who were in bondage.
Yeah, they did the best they could in the situation they found themselves in order to come up with the Constitution. This was really a wonderful document, and they had to work within those constraints, looking forward, as you say, decades ahead when they could do away with slavery and make it our nation even better than it was when it started.
Amen, amen. Now, one thing that I was going to point out earlier, and I got a little sidetracked there, is that while we are supposed to be charitable, we're supposed to be choosing to be charitable of our own free will and choice. We're supposed to choose to be charitable. The government cannot force us to be charitable without violating our right to property. Now, without the right to property, there is really no incentive other than the goodness of your heart to go ahead and work hard to support the community. So this idea that the United Order, that it can be established among a people that isn't completely righteous, is ridiculous, and it leads to tyranny. It leads to tens of millions of people being slaughtered in the last century. In fact, the total number of dead from these tyrannical dictators, everyone from Castro in Cuba to Mao in China, Hitler and Stalin, etc., over 100 million people were murdered in the previous century because of tyranny. And that's what happens when you want to do something good, but you try and force people to do it. It always leads to tyranny. And that is why the United Order is not equal or equivalent to communism, socialism, or any other kind of leftist ism.
You know, one of the materials that is involved in the 912 Project is this book, The 5,000 Year Leap. And I was reading in that the other day, and they were talking about how they like to draw a line and say on one end is totalitarianism and on the other end is fascism. And Skousen, Cleon Skousen, who wrote the book, said, but I would not say that. I would it would be like, let's go from, what do you call it when the people completely run things without any laws? That's anarchy, is that right?
Yes, anarchy.
So it's on one side is anarchy, on the other side is totalitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that wrote the Constitution were trying to come somewhere in the middle. They didn't want a government that was so strong that they could make us do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want the people so strong that there was nothing that could be relied on. The rules changed according with the whims of the people. So we're somewhere in the middle there, which is what our Constitution set up, which is a democratic republic, or mm-hmm. a representative republic, isn't
it? Not
right?
Democracy, a democratic
right.
republic.
Correct. Yeah, we don't have a democracy in our country.
No, that's a very common misconception.
And what my understanding of democracy is that anytime there's a rule or a law to be made, the entire group of the people get together and vote. And so democracy depends on getting the entire group there. But if you want a republic, the group elects representatives to represent their views. And that's why we have a republic and not a democracy. We could not all get together and vote on every single thing that was to come before the body politic.
More importantly, if we had a straight democracy, if we had a straight democracy, then it would be very easy to manipulate public opinion and get horrible laws put in place. Now, people
yes,
will say,
sure.
Well, our representatives are doing a pretty good job of that right now. And I agree. There is a serious problem when people are not informed and engaged politically. And that's one of the reasons we're where we are now. People were hoping for change. They just didn't have any idea what kind of change they were getting.
And
in the previous years, with the previous president, the level of spending and the growth of government was absolutely unacceptable there as well. That was the domain that Ronald Reagan was railing against. And, you know, a couple decades later, his own party was doing it.
Yeah, one of the reasons, I guess, the 9/12 Project and some of these other grassroots movements have been formed is because people finally realize that there is a disconnect and that their representatives are actually acting on the representative's own best interest rather than the best interest of the people that he represents.
Yes, and unfortunately, when you look at the amount of money, and this is something I give a shout-out to iCaucus for, OurCaucus.com, they're another group, and they've been looking at the amount of money that's coming in to all the different politicians and looking at where it's coming from, and they've discovered that there are 9 different levels of political donations that the people in the know that they use. So instead of just $2,400 per person, they're doing well over 10, sometimes tens of thousands.
Well, let's get into that as soon as we get from this break. We've got Jared Law in visiting with us today. This is Stephen Graham in on KTalk Radio this afternoon. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back on the air. This is Steve Graham sitting in for Stephen Reinhart today on the Unspoken Word program. Like Steve likes to say, this is the place where Utah's culture, history, and politics collide. And today we're talking with our guest, Jared Law of the 9/12
Project
Network. And so, Jared, when we went to the break, you were talking about different types of political contributions.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and go into a little bit more detail there?
Yeah, we were talking about representatives and how they're not really doing a will. And one of the big problems is they don't have to rely on us for their money. Once a congressman or a senator gets in, they have these 23 financial institutions. I believe it's 23. Correct me if I'm wrong. 23 financial institutions that got, 95% of the TARP bailout funds for the financial institutions.
Yeah.
Everything that's been distributed, they've gotten the lion's share of it. These are the same financial institutions who have contributed, I believe it's 90% of these type of contributions to these senators and congressmen.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
I know. They get most of the money. And, well, and, guess what? They're also the big donors who have done not just $2,400, but we're talking tens of thousands. PACs can do 5,000. Individuals can do 2,400. You multiply that by these 9 levels, and we're talking tens of thousands of dollars per institution, per individual.
Yeah, and no surprise that they're the ones that receive most, as you said, was it 95% that you said?
I believe it was 95%, yeah. Yes.
Of that money that went out, went right back to those people.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is, they don't care what party you're from. as soon as you get in, you're getting the money, like it or not. Well, I mean, you don't have to cash the checks, I guess, but they'll donate to anyone who gets in the office, because all they care about is ensuring that they get laws that are friendly and that people don't go after them. And the American people can't have no say when 50%, 70%, 80%, 90% of their money comes from these big corporations, these big financial institutions, and those nine levels of contributions that come in. You can't compete with someone that's giving $50,000 when you're struggling to give them a $500 check.
Let's talk about this. So the 912 Project, among other things, helps people organize community meetings. Is that what you do?
Absolutely.
And I was in one of those meetings in my neighborhood. And how are they organized according to voting precinct?
Right now, most of the organization is at the state Senate district level, but we do have some areas that are growing fast enough where we're actually already down to the precinct level. So it really just depends on where you are and how active it is
okay,
in your area.
Yeah, the Senate district.
Yeah, state Senate district.
And do we have how many senators do we have in our state?
27, if I remember correctly.
So every week or two, there's a community, and somewhere in 27 communities around mm-hmm. the state, ideally, mm-hmm. there would be these 912 Project meetings.
Yes, and the best place to go to get started, an easy URL, an easy web address that people can remember, is utah912.com. UTAH912.com. Go there and it'll forward you to our Utah specific network, which has nearly 1,000 people.
I know what takes place in the meeting that I go to, mm-hmm. but why don't you tell me what goes on in the one that you or some of your neighbors go to?
Well, the important part about it is, okay, first we need to identify those patriots who are willing to stand up and be counted and do something instead of just complaining about it.
Like at the meeting that I go to, they say, why don't we all see if we can bring someone else like-minded with
exactly.
us next week?
Preferably three like-minded individuals, right? And the whole point is to get as many people who agree that the Constitution is the standard, and that those liberties and those principles of freedom enshrined in the Constitution, we need to restore those. So anyone who agrees with that and agrees with these nine principles and agrees to live by these 12 values, those are the people you want to be bringing to the 912 Project meetings, to recruit onto the 912 Project network and the Utah 912 network. And those are the people that we want first.
Okay, so we're going to bring some people to the meeting. So what are we going to talk about?
Once we've identified these people, we need to organize and educate. Okay, the education part of things. You mentioned the 5,000-year leap earlier. It's a wonderful book. The 5,000-year leap talks about the 28 principles of freedom that are enshrined in the Constitution, and it goes over all sorts of diary entries and letters and all sorts of material from the founding fathers. And it explains these principles, why they're there, what the Founding Fathers thought, etc. Now, we all know that the Founding Fathers didn't agree on absolutely everything. In fact, it was quite contentious from time to time getting the Constitution set up. But what they finished, what they came out with, the final product, that's what we're talking about. And in the end, they did agree with the final product, the Constitution of the United States of America in 1787.
So one of the things that we talk about at the meeting is some of the principles, one of those 28 principles.
Yeah,
we go through the chapter in the book
exactly.
at the meeting that I attend.
Yes, and it's so important. If everyone in America had read the 5,000-year leap, we wouldn't have a national debt. We would not have the taxes we have. We would probably have a flat 10% tax, the way I see it. If the Lord only requires 10%, I think the government shouldn't require a dime more.
I remember in one of our books of Scripture, I'm a member of the LDS Church, studying the Book of Mormon one time, and it talked about how one of the kings levied a tax of one part in every five.
Yeah, one-fifth. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's a 20% tax rate. And I thought, oh, to have only a 20% tax rate.
Yeah.
And at that, the people rebelled.
Yes, oh yeah.
So it's... I'm also a CPA in my real life, aside from Standard of Liberty, and what I tell my tax clients every time I go over a tax return with them, I go over the numbers, and when we get down to the, I said, this is your actual tax bill. I want you to see this because I want you to know how much money you're actually paying in taxes. Because
mm-hmm.
most people don't. They just want to know how much their refund is. And then they think they're getting money back. Well, you know, the government is giving some of their own money back. But, and I've always said, if they did away with the withholding system.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe the withholding system is one of the most clever, insidious things ever invented.
It is evil.
If they were to do away with the withholding system and people had to come up with the money at the end of the year to pay those taxes, we would have had a tax revolt long before now.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We never would have gotten to where we are. I tell you, it's so important to understand that it's not just giving the government their money. Every time you write your tax check out, every time that that money is withheld from your paycheck, that is your money, not the government's. There's no such thing as government funds. There's no such thing as tax receipts. That's just another way to describe your money that the government is taking from you without your permission. Because let's face it, if you try to stop paying your taxes, at some point men with guns are going to remove you from your home.
Yeah, and you'll find out how much freedom you have over that particular aspect of your money. Well, back to these meetings that we have. Ours are every 2 weeks, and we have someone lead a discussion of they have the chapters in the book are based on the principles. And so we've gone over two principles at a time, and we're sharing it around. And not 2 weeks from now, but in 4 weeks from now, it's going to be my turn to be reviewing those principles, and it's going to be 11 and 12 that I'm going to cover. So, but we also talk about other things, such as, are we going to have some larger group meetings where we can meet with other people of like mind, or tea parties on July 4th?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any information on stuff like that coming up?
Yes. Well, just so you know, my understanding is that the tea party that's been organized for the 4th of July, where Mark Shurtleff is speaking, that is being organized by people who are working closely with the Shurtleff campaign. So just understand that tea party is a Mark Shurtleff campaign event. That isn't just a tea party.
Well, surely there will be other tea parties.
There are going to be other events. For example, all of those people who joined the Utah 912 network at utah912.com, everyone who joins that and then helps us purchase the rest of the Stadium of Fire tickets that are currently still available, we're going to make a promotion code available to those people. And those people that go ahead and purchase that, they're going to have a chance to go ahead and meet Glenn Beck on the 4th of July.
Okay, let me get this straight. We're talking about the Stadium of Fire,
mm-hmm.
and you say you have some access to some of those tickets?
Yes, yes.
Explain it a little bit slower for me.
Alan Osmond has made some tickets available to our network and to members of the States' Rights Coalition. Basically, to make a long story short, if you join up on utah912.com and you join our network, we're going to make very soon available a link for you to go ahead and buy, or maybe a promotion code to purchase these Stadium of Fire tickets.
And they will be available just to members of your coalition?
For this purpose, yes. And then those people who join our network and then purchase these tickets will get a chance to meet Glenn Beck in person in a private meeting that we're going to have before the Stadium of Fire on the afternoon of the 4th of July.
It's really good what you're saying here. It's nice to meet Glenn Beck, but people that would like to go to the Stadium of Fire, I understand that last year when the tickets became available, they were all snapped up by ticket scalpers who then just ran the prices of them.
Yes, yes.
And this sounds like you'll be able to get the tickets at the regular or reasonable price,
mm-hmm.
unless of course some scalpers come in.
No, we're controlling that.
Okay, all right, that's good.
So another thing is of course during the grand parade in the morning, that's a wonderful time to get to know people. What a lot of people do is they show up at the parade 5 minutes before it starts, they get a horrible seat, and it's just not really the way to do it. If you show up a couple of hours early that morning, it's amazing how much more wonderful that experience is, both for you and for the kids. It's just a really nice, relaxing. You get to meet all the people around you. You get to do some networking and stuff. And, of course, the Utah 912 Network, we're going to be doing quite a bit of that on the 4th of July.
So are you going to have a place for people to read about that, let's all meet at such and such a block?
Yes.
Or something?
Yes, the place you go is utah912.com. We're going to go ahead and set up an event, and everyone in the whole network know about that. So once you sign up, just watch your email after you're approved, and you'll go ahead and get some information about that. We're going to set up that event actually later today. So.
You know, I'm really glad you're doing that, because one of the things that is really important is to know that we're not alone.
Yes.
We've got about 7,000 people on our mailing list at the Standard of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And we send out these emails from time to time, And we'll get responses back from some of our members. And mm-hmm. that's nice to know that people are out there and they think the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, like you mentioned, the States' Rights Coalition.
Yes.
That's a coalition of conservative groups like ours and the 912 and the Patrick Henry Caucus.
Patrick Henry Caucus, yeah.
And it's
Eagle Forum.
Yeah, the Eagle Forum and the family, the One Heart, mm-hmm. and a whole number of other people. We get together, and it's so nice that we all know that we, although we have different avenues, that different places that we point at for our specific interest, that we're all united in holding those traditional values, these 12 values that are based on these, what I called God-based values. Mm-hmm. And that's the principles. They come from our belief in God. So it's nice that we can do this, and it's nice that you can have that. I recommend that everybody go to 912, Utah912.com,
mm-hmm.
and sign up. Find out where your local meeting is, and it's probably just somebody in your neighborhood. And go there every couple of weeks, read the book, and talk, and find out that there are other people that believe just like you do. It will give you courage and strength.
All right, now let me go ahead and briefly discuss. I realize we're okay. coming up against a break here in just a minute, but we are doing more than just reading and educating. In addition to that, we're organizing and preparing for future election cycles, because it doesn't do any good just to learn about it and then do nothing.
Exactly right.
The next step is to actually take some concrete action to effect some real, desirable change.
Yeah, at our meeting, we'll talk about this when we get back from the break. But at our meeting the other day, we were talking about how to prepare for the caucuses and the neighborhood meetings, and that appoint the people to go to the county and the state conventions. That's where you get your delegates, isn't it, in those neighborhood meetings?
Yes. Without preparing and arriving ready to go ahead and take care of that, you really don't have a say. The people who got elected have a say. And so it's extremely important, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or any other party, it's extremely important to come to those caucus meetings in March of 2010 prepared and bring enough people that you can actually affect some change.
Let's take a break, and we will be right back. Okay, we're back. This is Stephen Graham on the Stephen Reinhart Unspoken Word program. This afternoon, we've got our guest, Jared Law. We've been talking about the 912 Project, and we're going to keep talking about the 912 Project. So where were we when we ended here?
Well, we were talking about you were talking about the local meetings and everything, and we started talking about organizing. I did want to briefly go back and remind people that we have two separate networks, okay? We have our national network, which is the912project.us. Remember, Glenn Beck's official website for the 912 Project, which isn't really a community, but it's a good website and has some fun videos and some good talk on it, that is the912project.com. Our network, the national social network for the 912 Project, is the912project.us. So go to the .us for our national network. It has nearly 17,000 members nationwide. And then here in Utah, Utah912.com, that's our local network, and that has nearly 1,000 people. Anyway.
Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? 1,000 people?
It's great.
For as short a time as it's been in?
Yeah, we didn't really get the Utah network started until April, so, I mean, it's only been a couple months, and we're really doing pretty well.
And it's like you said, it's like me. I have another job that pays the bills, and so do you. Is that right? So
yes.
This is a labor of love for you?
Absolutely.
Yes. You know how to set up websites and do things like that. And so did someone ask you to do it? Or?
No, it's actually a pretty interesting story. Let me give you a brief background to my efforts. Back in 2006, I was working actually at a car dealership. And they're not doing so hot right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll hope that the things can turn around. But anyway, that's another story. So I was working at a car dealership, and I was really frustrated with the direction of my life. I was obviously working that because I was in between technology jobs. And I was on a break, and I was going out to get some lunch, and I heard this advertisement on the Rush Limbaugh program. And the advertisement was for a position with a place called the Leadership Institute, and they're based in Arlington, Virginia. And it was an advertisement to go out and help organize conservative student groups and publications at college campuses. And so I, of course, responded to that. They liked what they saw, and so they hired me. And I flew back to Arlington, Virginia, and they trained me. And I came back to Utah, and I helped organize conservative student groups and publications at BYU and, you know, making the attempts of all over Utah, but most successful at U of U, Salt Lake Community College, and BYU. Those were the three places where we had the most success.
Okay.
And to make a long story short, I really got a good taste for that, and I really decided that I liked helping organize people who want to uphold the Constitution and who want to roll back the encroachments on our liberty and who want to really restore things the way that they were originally set up by the Founding Fathers. Some people call anyone who believes in the Constitution right-wing extremists, including our Department of Homeland Security, yeah. Right? And people talk about right and left. Oh, these are far right, or these are extreme right-wing. You know what? There's no such thing as extreme right-wing. People claim, and you'll see this in the public schools parroted all the time, and it's simply false. They say that, oh, if you go far enough right, that's fascism. Well, that's absolutely false.
Yeah, that's not right.
Fascism is a form of leftist government. It is total government control
of
the economy. Exactly. It's totalitarianism. There's nothing to the right that makes any sense. That's why it's so useful to think about things in terms of total government or tyranny versus total freedom or anarchy. And then that sliding scale that Willard Cleon Skousen talks about in the 5,000-Year Leap and some of his other books as well. And so the Founding Fathers were about three-quarters of the way towards total freedom. I mean, the Constitution was set up to limit the power of the government, not to grant a bunch of power, but to limit the power of the government. And that's why the 10th Amendment issue is so important now with states' rights and the Patrick Henry Caucus. It's so important to realize that any of those powers that weren't specifically granted to the federal government are reserved for the states or for the people.
And that's in the 10th Amendment.
That's the 10th Amendment. Yeah. And I tell you, if we don't start exercising our sovereignty as states, if the states don't start exercising their sovereignty and taking back some of that control from the federal government, the direction we're heading, soon we will have Big Brother literally controlling the temperature of the thermostat because some people like it too hot and some people like it too cold. And hey, we can't have that if we have a socialized economy. So they're going to actually dictate what temperature your thermostat is set to. In fact, the technology for that is already here. It only costs about $1 per device to stick a chip in there that can report back through the smart grid. You've heard of the smart grid? They say it's more efficient. It'll help our electricity costs. Well, it actually gives them the ability to actually control the temperature, the amount of lights that are on. I mean, it's horrible what can happen when you give that kind of control to a federal government. Way too much power.
Yeah, and as you said, they set us over toward, away from the totalitarian side of that scale. Set us, what did you say, two-thirds of the way over toward?
It was about three-quarters of the way over towards
total
freedom.
And we have slid over toward the totalitarianism.
We're at arm's reach.
Inch by inch. You know, it's kind of like cooking the frog, huh? They've just slowly turned up the water and we haven't noticed.
It's taken about 100 years to get this far.
But I think, so what is the thing that has caused this great movement that we see all across the country?
Well, I can think of one particular event at the end of 2008 that started waking people up.
Okay.
In November.
It was the election of Barack Obama. And just see what has happened in the 4 months since he has been president. He has done more unconstitutional things, in my view, that have moved us, it's jumped us to that over toward that totalitarianism so much that it got people's attention. He tried to do too much all at once, and he broke the code that they've been using all along, which was step by step, please, let's not try to do it all at once. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what happened?
That's a lot of what I saw. But you also have George W. Bush and the Democratic Congress, starting with 2006, and then, of course, the lost-their-way Republicans in 2004, during that time period, and the spending just came and came and came, and they were spending just hundreds of billions more than we had. And this is from a government that supposedly had a conservative in the White House. And
That was a discouraging thing, and people didn't notice because it was President Bush, and so they just trusted that he would be a Republican when he was spending like a Democrat. Huh?
Yes, and not only that, he wasn't using his veto pen. He could have stopped a lot of that spending if he had only used his veto powers far earlier than he started. He should have started using his veto powers at the beginning of his first, right after 9/11. I mean, that would have been the perfect opportunity to pull back the size of government and constrict it severely and put it back to where the founding fathers set it up. And let's face it, that kind of liberty, that kind of freedom is why we have had such an amazing leap in technology and prosperity. The 5,000-year leap talks about the fact that, hey, in the last couple hundred years, since, you know, 2 1/3 centuries, since our nation was founded, we have had more progress, more prosperity than in the previous 5,000 years of recorded history that we know of. And that has happened because of the liberty and the prosperity that happens when you have these kinds of freedoms.
Yeah, it's like I was reading in it the other day, and it said, when this country was founded, people were still using scythes and sickles to harvest their grain,
mm-hmm.
like people had done 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, no technical progress, and then an explosion. And it was we can believe that it was because of the way the government was set up. The first time this kind of government had ever been tried, people mm-hmm. had the freedom to do what they felt like they would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now for our president to go out and apologizing around the world for the United States being the great place it is, it's just astonishing to me.
Well, it just shows that the worldview of this administration is quite a bit distorted. And we learned about that during the campaign when we found out his preacher, Reverend Wright, and that black liberation theology that he espouses and that he was enjoying for a couple of decades. You know, we saw that is what he believed, and unfortunately not enough people believed. They thought, oh, that's just a Republican dirty trick, you know. But let's face it, Reverend Wright, he is a real person. He really believes the things that you heard him saying in those sound bites. And the fact of the matter is that everyone knew what they were getting if they paid any attention. I guess a lot of people just chose not to believe it, including quite a few people I know personally. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's not really the importance of the 912 Project. We are non-political, non-partisan. I'm just giving you my personal opinions there. Anyway, back to the 912 Project. It's really important to remember that not only do we want to identify and recruit and educate these people who are willing to stand up and do something, but it's also important to organize and actually take action. One of the things that we're doing is we are organizing in every single precinct in the state of Utah. And with the 912 Project Network nationally, we're helping people get organized all over the United States. We've got a very vibrant group in Pennsylvania, Florida, Texas, all over the United States. We've got wonderful groups who are organizing both on a state, regional, and local level. And of course, here in Utah, we have actually the highest number of people on the state-specific network compared to the other states, but on a national level, Texas is far and away the biggest player. They've got, on our national network, nearly 2,000, and we only have about 17,000 people. So Texas is huge in the number of people who are involved in the 912 Project.
Well, the amazing thing is it's happening of its own accord. I mean, people are, you know, they're saying, we've got to do something, and it's not like there's this big, I mean, Glenn Beck got people motivated or whatever, but there's not one big organization that you have to subscribe to.
It's very grassroots driven, and there's no big money. People are doing this voluntarily. In fact, getting back to my story, I got away from that. So in 2006, I started doing this organizing, and then I just knew and I felt really strongly that I there was something I had to do. I just didn't know what it was specifically, but I knew it had to do with politics, and I knew that it had to do with the problems that I see and the lack of principles by our government and the restrictions on our freedom and basically the ignoring of our Constitution. And so I had this really strong feeling I needed to do something. I did switch from Sean Hannity to Glenn Beck. No offense to Sean, I just prefer Glenn's style a little bit better. And also, let's face it, I was a little bit taken aback by his support of Giuliani in the primaries and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Giuliani's a progressive just like McCain was.
Yeah, he really was pushing Giuliani's candidacy.
He really was. And in fact, I remember, and this is whether you like Mitt Romney or not, I remember on his TV show, there was always a segment about those crazy polygamists. Every single time Mitt Romney was on, right after or right before, they always did a polygamist segment. And if you notice, they quit talking about it as soon as Mitt wasn't
isn't
a candidate.
Interesting? Yeah.
I know. So that was really just disgusting. I really didn't like that at all. And so that's the time frame when I fully switched over to Glenn and haven't looked back. But I do like where Sean's coming from on most things. Glenn is a lot more about principle. And I really love that. That speaks to my heart. That speaks to my soul. It's got to be about principle. It can't just be about the donkey and the elephant, right? It's got to be about principle. Anyway,
so we've got about 4 minutes of the show left. So let's keep going with your story.
Okay, so
and then we'll wrap it up.
Back in November of 2008. Glenn gave a really great monologue. I believe it was the 17th of November of 2008. He gave a great monologue talking about finding your own voice, and that was just so inspiring. And I was just motivated to go ahead and start an organization and really make a difference. And I just didn't really know how to do it. Then in January, Glenn took a call from Ed from New Haven. He was talking about how the previous caller was threatening to unplug and just quit paying attention because it didn't matter what he did. They still did the TARP. They still did the bailouts. They did all of these things regardless of the people's will, which was abundantly expressed in the negative towards these things. Obama got elected. They did TARP. They did the bailouts. And it seemed like no matter what you did, they didn't pay attention and they didn't care what the people thought anymore. And so this Ed from New Haven called in and said, hey, just like the last caller, I haven't just thought about it. I've actually done it. After the election, I just unplugged. I didn't even know the Israelis and Palestinians were fighting again. I had no idea. I wasn't even reading newspapers or anything. Nothing. And then I started plugging in again just the last day or so here. And I tell you, Glenn, you need to give me a reason to not unplug again. Why should I care? Why should I watch the news? No matter what we do, they don't listen. We're completely surrounded. There's nothing we can do. And Glenn said, you know, this is probably the most important call I've taken in my entire career. I don't know how I'm going to prove it to you, but sometime in the next 30 days, I'm going to prove to you that we are not alone. They don't surround us. We surround them. And so then on the 4th of February, he came out with the 9 principles of the 9-12 Project. And then, of course, later he came out with the 12 values. And then February 25th is the day that I officially got started with the 9-12 Project Network. And I literally was working, and this is completely volunteer. Never got a dime from Glenn or anyone else. I was literally working 20-hour days, getting 3.5 hours of sleep, Monday through Saturday, only took the Sabbath off.
Oh,
and I did that for about 2.5 weeks until the 9-12 Project unveiling on Friday the 13th of March. And by then we'd grown from zero to somewhere close to 5,000 members. And amazing growth, but obviously Glenn was talking about it and pushing it every day. So obviously you get much faster growth when there's that kind of massive promotion on TV and radio. Then, of course, after that, we grew pretty fast for a couple weeks as well. And then things slowed down, and the tea parties, there was a bit of a spike. And I tell you, it does not take long for people to start falling asleep again. And it is so important that we go back and start paying attention to what's going on and realize that with this healthcare stuff, with Sotomayor and her nomination to the Supreme Court, looking at that record, be careful, and then make sure and let your voice be known to your senators, I should say. There are so many issues that we need to pay attention to. And if we don't pay attention, we are going to continue to lose our freedoms.
Yep. What I say is you should call those senators and representatives and let them know what you think, even if you think they're going to vote the way you want them to. You've got to let them know, because they might not.
Yes.
Some of our senators have voted more liberal than conservative when they say that they're a conservative. So I don't understand that, except... Well, I don't know. But, I think the 9-12 Project is one of the most amazing things has come along in a long time. And maybe it represents the start of a new connection of the people with their representatives. And like Judge Bork says in Slouching Towards Gomorrah, what we need to do is not worry about getting elected to high office. We need to get in the school boards and in the town councils and get involved in our communities, and we can change things from the bottom up.
And just to give out the websites again, utah912.com and the 912project.us. Please get on and please join us if you agree with the principles and of freedom that are enshrined in the Constitution of the United States of America.
Yeah, well, this is Steve Graham. I've been sitting in for Stephen Reinhart today on his Unspoken Word program. My guest has been Jared Law of the 912 Project Network. I encourage all of you to to look that up. And if you if you've forgotten, just put Utah 912 and see what you come up with in your Google search, and you'll find them. This is Steve Graham. I'll see you the next time. Goodbye and good luck.